Hello, hello, my faithful listeners. Thank you for joining me for today's episode. Today, I am speaking to my dear sister friends who have or do struggle with people pleasing. You may not even know that you're a people pleaser, but just listen in and see how much resonates with you. We're going to talk about some of the benefits you probably experience, at least in the short term, and more importantly, the long-term cost of being a people pleaser. I hope to also get into a little bit of specifics when it comes to leadership for the people pleaser. This is a really important message for your long-term well-being and sense of work-life balance, so let's get into it. Welcome to the Grace-Filled Leader Podcast. Do you want better work-life balance? Do you get stuck in patterns of perfectionism and people-pleasing? Have you always been an overachiever but never really felt good enough? No matter how much outward success you achieve? Do you want more time for the things that matter most? Well, you are in the right place. Here on the Grace-Filled Leader Podcast, we focus on spirit-driven success and share the secrets to having better work-life balance as a busy woman in leadership. Here you will learn how to set boundaries like a boss, find peace of mind, and reclaim your time for the things that matter most. Hi, I'm Tanya, a wife, mom, leader, and certified Christian life coach. For most of my life, I tried to find worthiness through achievement. I spent decades people-pleasing and pouring myself into my work. I was looking for my value through the approval of others. This led me to feel burned out, empty, and exhausted. I had no time or energy for myself or my family. I realized that I was wasting time and energy looking for validation in all the wrong places. But my life changed when I finally surrendered and God showed me a different way. It is my mission to help you start living the abundant life God has for you. If you're ready to become fueled by grace and find freedom from people-pleasing, if you're ready to multiply your time and impact as a Christian woman in leadership, this podcast is for you. Roll up your sleeves, sister friends. It's time to get after it. Okay, tell me if this sounds familiar. You're one of those really nice people who is seen as so helpful and kind. It makes you feel good to make someone else happy, to brighten their day. You try to seek and preserve harmony in your relationships, and you often put others before yourself. People probably refer to you as someone who is reliable, someone they can count on. You're a real team player. If someone needs something, you're there to lend a hand and almost always saying yes in response to a request or a perceived need. So far, this sounds pretty good, right? It probably works out pretty well for you and you're seen as a nice person, right? People tend to like you, so win-win. Well, hold up. It doesn't stop there. Is this life really all sunshine and roses, rainbows and unicorns? No, probably not. Not only do you try to please people or gain their approval, but you feel anxious and guilty when you can't. You perseverate when you perceive that someone might be upset with you and you fear the disapproval of others. You absolutely hate conflict and do everything you can to avoid causing trouble. To think that someone might be angry at you is downright disastrous, enough to make you want to throw up. To sum it up, when it comes to relationships and how you function in a social sense, you have crossed the line from simply being helpful and kind to being nearly crippled by anxiety around interpersonal conflict, or even the possibility of it. You carry the weight of the world on your shoulders, taking responsibility for the feelings and reactions of others, desperately trying to keep people happy. So how do you like them apples? Have you crossed the line into people-pleasing, or are you just a healthy example of kindness? This is a little redundant, but let's review a few signs and symptoms that you may struggle with people-pleasing. People-pleasers often go above and beyond to make others happy or feel good, often at their own expense. Their sense of worth comes from the approval of others. Their sense of value comes from extrinsic performance-based factors versus intrinsic senses of value. They have worry and anxiety about what others think. They have poor boundaries or guilt when they try to set boundaries. They can't or struggle to say no, and they tend to overcommit themselves. They get irritated because they never have time for themselves. They might apologize a lot, almost for just being who they are. They often have low self-esteem and are easily taken advantage of. They see self-care as being selfish. They might be a chameleon, changing based on who they're with. They may have the outward appearance of success, but they struggle to feel good enough on the inside. They avoid advocating for their own needs, such as saying they're fine when they really aren't. They tend to avoid disagreeing with people or voicing their honest opinion. They go along with things they're maybe not even happy about just to avoid creating friction. And they often have social anxiety, even if they appear to be a social person, because of course they depend so heavily on social inclusion or the approval of others. Some of the common causes of people-pleasing traits or patterns or behavior are a low self-esteem, anxiety, the desire to avoid judgment and conflict. They may actually have a history of some form of trauma. They may not even realize they've experienced trauma, but sometimes there's a trauma response called fawning, and it's an extreme form of people-pleasing, and it involves trying to gain the approval of those you fear, and it's really kind of a means of survival. It's actually considered the fourth F in the trauma responses, fight, flight, freeze, and then fawn. It just may be part of your culture or socialization. Women especially are often conditioned to be, quote, good girls, nurturers, and subservient in our culture and our upbringing. Even our Christian faith can leave people confused as to what is an appropriate amount of service and self-sacrifice and what extends into the unhealthy and even untrue in terms of God's intentions around service and sacrifice. Sometimes there's an underlying personality disorder. While people-pleasing itself is not a clinical term, it can be linked to certain types of personality disorders which are long-term mental health conditions. For example, dependent personality disorder causes a person to feel very dependent on others for help and approval. They may struggle to make even the most basic decisions without getting the opinion of others. And finally, codependency is actually a pathological form of people-pleasing. And there are aspects of people-pleasing within codependency, but it's taken to a much deeper, very toxic level. We may actually spend a whole other episode on codependency because this actually came up as a topic of interest from one of my followers. And then we'll discuss how it is similar, but how it also differs from people-pleasing. If you are in a codependent relationship, you tend to take care of the other person because you desperately need to be needed and you attach your identity to that need. Folks, I spent over 40 years stuck in patterns of people-pleasing, approval-seeking, and perfectionism, trying to find fulfillment the world's way. It wasn't until I experienced the transformational power of the Holy Spirit through Christian life coaching that my way of being was completely changed. What I couldn't do on my own in over 40 years, God did in just a few months. He often works best through other people in our lives. If God is laying it on your heart to try a different way and you don't know where to start, you can keep struggling on your own, or you can invest in yourself and partner with a Christian life coach. I'm not exaggerating when I tell you that it changed the trajectory of my life. If my story resonates with you, I would be honored to partner with you in your own journey. Go to gracefilledleader.com to learn more. That's grace, G-R-A-C-E, filled, F-I-L-L-E-D, leader.com. Now, we talked about some of those short-term or surface-level payoffs that come with people-pleasing. People see you as a kind person. You're helpful to others. You help keep the peace. You avoid conflict, at least for a while. And another payoff that can keep the people-pleasing going is that you get lots of kudos or recognition or attagirls. You may even get promoted or asked to be on more projects and committees, thus fostering your need for approval. Or actually fostering and rewarding that need for approval. But what is the long-term cost of people-pleasing? Well, stress or living in a state of fight, flight, freeze, or fun nearly all the time results in too much exposure to cortisol in your system and other stress hormones, which can disrupt almost all of your body's processes. It puts you at a higher risk for many health problems such as anxiety, depression, digestive problems, headaches, muscle tension, pain, heart disease, heart attack, high blood pressure and stroke, sleep problems, weight gain, problems with cognition, memory, and focus. You risk just being exhausted, fatigued, burned out. There's a risk of neglecting self-care, which ultimately will result in you having less energy for others. And often you develop resentment toward those who take advantage of you and your propensities say yes. You may find yourself in unhealthy relationships. You may have almost a complete loss of identity by neglecting your own ideas, feelings, and needs, because at some point you lose track of what they even are and who you are. And you might find yourself in conflicting roles. If you're trying to gain the approval of others in one role, it may come in conflict with another. For example, if you're saying yes to every new opportunity as a professional or a community member, this will come in conflict with your role as mother or wife, and you will risk disapproval of your family in an effort to gain the approval of others. It may result in harm or betrayal of others as you become a chameleon in social settings or you seek to agree with others or gain their inclusion. It may lead to gossip and betrayal of trust of someone else. Specifically looking at the leader with people-pleasing tendencies, what is the cost? Well, in addition to your own mental, physical, and emotional well-being, you have to consider the fact that your effectiveness as a leader may be compromised by your people-pleasing nature. Trying to navigate effective leadership is like a reenactment of Goldilocks, balancing servant leadership, empathy, and appropriate levels of accountability and change management. Is your style too soft, too hard, or just right? David Shore, a professor of organizational development at Harvard, says managing change is about upsetting people only at a rate that they can tolerate. Yikes, this is really tough to get right. As a leader, if you're too focused on keeping people happy as a people pleaser, you will not be an effective change agent because you won't be upsetting people at a fast enough rate. If you're too hard-hitting as a leader, leaving no room for empathy and understanding of human reactions, you risk upsetting people too quickly and charging through change so quickly that they decide to leave. So effective leadership requires a balance between sensitivity to the human impact of change and enough detachment from the human reactions and consequences to allow a certain level of discomfort that accompanies and tends to persist when people experience change. The most effective and enlightened leaders, I think, are the most patient when it comes to tolerating discomfort in themselves and in their team. They're capable of standing in what can become a lonely place of ongoing discomfort, but they also have the capacity to understand and validate the human emotion that contributes to the discomfort. I feel like I am an ongoing work in progress when it comes to trying to balance empathetic servant leadership and healthy detachment from the natural human reactions that come with change and perceived conflict. So back to the overall topic. Let's say you hear yourself in some of today's messages. How do you stop people pleasing when it's been a part of who you are for probably most of your life? Well, in my case, and I believe this is true for everyone, if you want to find true victory, it starts with our supreme helper, with a capital H, and first surrendering this struggle. Lay it at the feet of Jesus and ask His Holy Spirit to help you begin to navigate life in a healthier way. Ask Him to fill you with His love, His acceptance and presence, so that your need for man's approval is extinguished. This is not a one and done, people. It has to become a daily practice, at least for me. And beyond that, some practical and tactical steps are to first start small. Identify a personal need that you have been neglecting, maybe. Maybe that's just 15 minutes of quiet time alone in the morning. Maybe it's a walk in the sunshine, away from your desk or your household chores. Carve out a little slice of time and give yourself permission to make that time just about you and for you. Second, get curious about your thoughts. Try to distinguish between the desire to be helpful and kind, which should lead to a sense of peace and positive emotion, versus feelings of fear, guilt, or pressure, none of which are positive. Are your motives truly sincere if they are primarily out of avoidance of fear, guilt, or worry? Number three, make a habit of stalling when someone presents you with a request. Resist the urge to say yes immediately. Try saying, "You know what? I'm going to have to think about that for a bit and get back to you." Or, "I'm going to need to look at my calendar and get back to you." Whatever you can do or say to just give yourself time and space to assess your capacity and filter that request through what you have identified as your core values and priorities. Number four, set limits when you do say yes to something. Maybe say that you can help between this time and this time, or say specifically what window of time you have available and then stick to it. If that's not adequate, they have the freedom to ask someone else to do the work. Number five, time block. Block time in your calendar that is dedicated to you and your priorities and is unavailable for others. It is off limits for any new yeses. Number six, practice, practice, practice. Practice saying no, setting and keeping boundaries. And start with the easy things. We talked about that last episode, and I referenced the previous episode, number 112, setting boundaries and saying no. So I'll link both of those in the show notes. Number seven, as is common with exposure therapy when it comes to treating and dealing with anxiety, we have to work on sitting with discomfort and realizing that we will be okay. Yes, people are used to you saying yes, and maybe they don't like it when we begin to say no, which is uncomfortable. But the world is not going to come to an end if someone is unhappy with us setting a healthy boundary. In most cases, we will not die, and the discomfort will eventually pass. If that's not true and you literally are at risk of actual physical harm as a result of saying no or setting a boundary, that goes well beyond our conversation today and warrants professional intervention. Now, one last extra special suggestion is to listen to my interview with Michelle Grosser tomorrow. Michelle is the host of the Calm Mom podcast, and she shares some really simple daily practices to help your nervous system become healthier or more flexible again. In other words, she teaches us how to get out of that constant stress cycle and help our nervous system learn how to function like it was designed to become more plastic in activating and deactivating the stress response. I promise, it is really, really good, and you aren't going to want to miss it, so tune in tomorrow. And I'm going to leave you with that for today, my friends. And as always, I pray that the Lord fills you with gratitude, peace, and His amazing grace. I pray this episode blessed you, spoke to you, or encouraged you in some way. If so, please share it with a friend and head on over to Apple Podcasts to leave me a review. That's the only way for me to know if you're enjoying the show. Nothing blesses me more than to hear from you. Also, come on over to our free Facebook community. This is a great place for us to support one another on our faith and leadership journeys. You can find the link to the group in the show notes or go to gracefilledleader.com/community. If you have questions or content ideas for the show, please send me a message on SpeakPipe or via email. Go to gracefilledleader.com/contact and leave a written or voice recorded message. I would love to know how I can best serve you on the podcast. Now to Him who can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Until next time, my friends, God bless.